John Millay is going to take us to Blooming Prairie. He's going to take us to Minnetonka. He's going to take us to Edina. He's going to take us a lot of other places as well here on Preps Today with John Millay. This is our prep sports show at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Subscribe at your favorite podcast app. It is free. It is easy. It is the easiest and most convenient way to listen to this show and to this program. For those who like to come out to our live shows, Wednesday, the 22nd, 6 p.m., Eden Prairie, Pizza Luce, Chin Music with Lavelle E. Neal III and Roy Smalley and myself. We'll talk Twins. We'll have some fun. Roy might even do some demos. Please come out for that. And John will be telling you about a live opportunity to come see Preps Today in October. But today, let's get to it, John. Let's get to September 11th in Blooming Prairie.
Yeah, Jim. Hey, it's nice talking to you.
Yeah.
Last week, I talked about how I had never been to a game in Blooming Prairie. I have now rectified that longstanding error, and it was a blast. I was down there Saturday afternoon for a football game. It was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. A great place to spend some time that day. The Awesome Blossoms hosted the Lester Prairie Bulldogs. It was a 2 o'clock game, and it was just wonderful. Everybody knows how much I enjoy small towns. I grew up in a town just like Blooming Prairie, and it's a neat place. And for people who don't know where Blooming Prairie is, Google Maps will help you. But it's just a little bit south of Owatonna. It's in southern Minnesota. A really cool place. The memory I'm going to carry the most from that day was a photo I tweeted later that day when I got home. It shows veterans from Blooming Prairie. They're coming out in the pregame carrying the colors. Behind them, the Lester Prairie Bulldogs are all lined up in the end zone. Every one of them has their right hand over their hearts. And then just outside the stadium, there's a street that runs parallel to the field. There's a gigantic American flag hanging from an extended ladder truck, a fire truck out on the street. And I wrote this on the tweet. And this is, I'm being 100% truthful here. This really hit me in the emotions today in Blooming Prairie. I thought about former Bloomington Jefferson quarterback Tom Burnett Jr., who was on United Flight 93. I thought about former Blake football player Gordy Amuth, who was in the South Tower. The veterans with the colors, that giant flag. Wow. And just for that couple of minutes as the vets are coming out with the colors, as the anthem is being sung, and then they're retiring the colors and everybody's still standing inside. I choked up. I mean, it really hit me what had happened and what a great tribute this was. And those two guys with Minnesota football ties who died, you and I both wrote about that afterwards, Jim. You wrote about Tom Burnett and his family. I was at Blake School the day they named their stadium in honor of Gordy Amuth. And when I worked for the Star Tribune, Paul Wellstone, then one of our senators was there. Mark Dayton, the governor, was there. Lots of friends and family members. They had a stage set up. A lot of people talked about him. Somebody had even found Gordy's old high school football helmet. He never returned it to the school. I don't know the details there, but the mouth guard was still attached. It was like in somebody's garage, if I remember what they told me that day. And then I also wrote a couple of years after 9/11 at Bloomington Jefferson, where Tom Burnett was a quarterback, at the school next to their practice fields, there's a big stone rock memorial with some quotes that Tom had given in a speaking engagement at one point. And Bloomington Jefferson and Kennedy, they don't play football at their schools. They go to Jefferson Stadium, which is in the middle of town. They share that. But before games, the Jefferson football team, they gather at this memorial to Tom Burnett, and they kind of have a little reflective moment, and I've been there for that in past years. It's really special. So all those things came back to me during this pregame ceremony. And the football game was really fun. It was really something. The Awesome Blossoms, they have really high standards in football. The last time we had football state playoffs 2 years ago, they were the Class 1A state champs. And as we know, last fall, there were no state tournaments in any sports. And it was a heck of a game. The Blossoms held off Lester Prairie 41-26. It was back and forth. There were a lot of mistakes. There were a lot of great plays. There were bad snaps. There was a punt snap into the end zone that ended up in a safety. Or no, actually a touchdown for Lester Prairie. But the biggest play of the game, something you don't see, a 99-yard interception return for a touchdown. This was by Tanner Schievel of Lester Prairie. And that kid is a real football player. Fun to watch kids like that who play both sides of the ball, do a lot of great things. You know, it was a warm afternoon. It was humid. Kids were starting to cramp up in the second half. But everybody made it through. I was a hot, sticky mess by the end of it, too, just standing there on the sidelines watching, you know, hey, what's new? And I tweeted, you know, one of the things that made me chuckle. There was a public address announcement that's heard in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota, and nowhere else in the world. The PA guys, you know, announced a play, followed up with a tackled by a host of blossoms. Which you don't, that's not normal football lingo. Tackled by a, then at one time it was tackled by a wall of blossoms, and staying on the awesome blossom theme. So after the game, you know, at every high school football game, the teams gather in the end zones, hear from their coaches. And I was down with the awesome blossoms in their end zone, and Chad Gimble, their head coach, was talking to him. And then when they're breaking it up, the players, everybody puts a hand in the middle of the huddle, you know, and they go, 1, 2, 3, flower power, which was awesome. Speaking of the blossoms, that was awesome. And as I think I mentioned it last week, one of the craziest things about this, they have this unbelievable nickname, and their school colors are not colorful as you'd think flowers would be, but their school colors are black and white, which just adds a whole nother wrinkle to the whole thing. But it was really fun.
I got to say, the flowers I have had around the house, they all end up black and white, so it's fine.
Mine end up brown. Yeah. So, you know, but thankfully my wife has a green thumb. I have a brown thumb. So
shouldn't it be tackled by a bouquet of blossoms? Wouldn't that be the way to go here?
We should get some tips up and send them down to Blooming Prairie.
We'll do that.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. There would be chuckles in the stands, I guarantee you.
By the way, you mentioned, you know, all these two-way players. Not many people know this about me. I was the original zero-way player.
Here's how rotten of a football player I was. I grew up in a town, I think, smaller than Blooming Prairie. And if you're any kind of a football player, especially by the time you're a junior or senior, you play both sides of the ball. And a whole bunch of these kids did. I was such a lackluster football player. My job was to hike the ball. I was the center. We didn't do long snaps. We ran like a wishbone offense. It was all just, you know, stand over the ball, jam it between my buttocks and try to get in somebody's way. I didn't even play on defense. That's how bad I was. I wasn't equipped to play two-way football as a high school player in a small town. So that's my claim to fame. I was a one-way, very mediocre football player.
But you kept your fingers intact, which allowed you to become the writer you are today.
There you go. Nobody stepped on my fingers. Yep, I'd hike the ball and lay down, basically. That was my strategy.
I like it. The pacifist, I like it.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll get to Friday night. We do want to thank our sponsors, Pizza Barn in Princeton and Twin Cities Orthopedics. John's going to tell you about an event we have coming up here in a little bit. But first, let's talk about Friday night in Minnetonka.
Yeah, so Saturday I was in Blooming Prairie. The previous night I was in Minnetonka. Atmosphere-wise, this was quite different than a Class A game in Blooming Prairie. And Minnetonka is a 6A school, and they have outstanding facilities. You know, they had one of the first artificial turf baseball diamonds. Their stadium has been turf for a long time. I think they've got the equivalent of five turf football fields, you know, for practices and in their stadium. And it's top-notch. The people there are top-notch. It's spacious. They had a great big crowd. I was telling the officials in Blooming Prairie, you know, they asked me if I'd been to a game Friday night, and I said, yeah, I was at Minnetonka with I don't know how many thousands of people. It was really fun. Great atmosphere. I tweeted a lot of photos and a couple of videos from that game. If you go to MSHSL John on Twitter and scroll a bit, you can find some of those. And Minnetonka beat Blaine 28-3. Blaine is kind of in a rebuilding area. They've got a new head coach. Minnetonka looked really good to me. They took advantage of things they needed to. They were the explosive offense. It's so much fun to see these high school teams run a spread offense, and Minnetonka does, no surprise, but so does Blooming Prairie. You'll have five receivers split out and shotgun snaps, and away they go. And so this big win by Minnetonka sets up a big game this week. Minnetonka and Maple Grove both are 2-0. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, we're going to talk about two sports stars in Edina saving lives We're going to thank a ref, and we're going to wrap it up with some other notes from around the state. We do want to thank Twin Cities Orthopedics, one of our newer sponsors, and John has some information for you.
Yeah, we are excited, Jim. Twin Cities Orthopedics has joined us here, and they have big news. They're opening a brand new state-of-the-art facility in Stillwater. It's going to open September 20th. It's coming right up. And this building is seriously amazing. It's right across the street from Stillwater High School. I know that neighborhood. I've been to Stillwater High School dozens of times. It has more than 8,000 square feet of indoor turf and training space for athletes and teams of all ages. Plus, if you're dealing with a sudden or unexpected injury, you can walk right in without an appointment from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. Check it out when it opens and keep Saturday, October 9th, free on your calendar for the grand opening. And we'll have more details about that next week and after that. So thanks to Twin Cities Orthopedics.
And now John's going to tell you about Pizza Barn in Princeton and their food truck.
Okay, let's talk about that food truck. So a Friday night in Minnetonka, we talked about it before. They had, I don't know, five or six food trucks, including that unbelievable Pizza Barn food truck, and that truck was busy all night. They had their hands full before the game. I walked past it at halftime, after the game, and I saw people get a slice of pizza, go, you know, walk 40 feet away, eat it, and go back and get another one, wait in line to get another
That's
one.
Awesome.
It was so great. Now, my official pregame meal was two slices of pizza. They were both bigger than my head. They were unbelievably tasty. It just, if I hadn't been working, I would have spent all night just returning to the line and getting more pizza. It was fabulous. So that's one of the many great things about the Pizza Barn in Princeton. It's right off 169 in downtown Princeton. And we talked about it before, the September Pizza of the Month. This is a fan favorite. It's a pizza of the month every year, the mac and cheese pizza, homemade crust, white cheddar mac and cheese, house blend cheese, which is cheddar and mozzarella. They throw on some bacon, it goes in the oven, then when it comes out, they top it with breadcrumbs with a little garlic flavor. And I was at the State High School League office earlier today, Jim, and one of our folks in there was asking me about the Pizza Barn. They've never been there. They don't live close to Princeton. But the question was, what's the pizza of the month? I said, hey, mac and cheese. And I think they had listened to the podcast. So this young person and her spouse, she said, you know, maybe this weekend, if the weather's great, we want to look for a drive. I think we're going to go to Princeton and go visit the Pizza Barn. I said, tell them Jim and John sent you.
Please do. And there are regular flights up there, you know?
That's right.
Flights just plan ahead.
You don't have to change planes. It's nonstop. Yeah.
Exactly. good stuff. Thank you again to TCO and Pizza Barn in Princeton. Let's talk about two sports stars in Edina now.
Yeah, this was really fun, Jim. This is kind of a nuts and bolts sports story that I don't write all that often, you know, when I reflect on what I do. But I went to a soccer game in Edina and kind of followed three members of the Edina girls soccer team, which is top ranked in class 2A or 3A now. And the three of them are also state champions in track in the sprints. If people follow high school track, they know about Maddie Dahleen. She was the state champ this last spring in the 100, 200, and 400 meter races. And then two others, Wesley McMiller and Izzy Engels, they were on the state championship 4x400 relay team. So these kids can run. And I saw that in this soccer game. They played Stillwater. Stillwater scored first, and then Edina kind of turning on the Jets, scored to tie it up, and then got the go-ahead goal in the second half. And, you know, it turns out that speed is important in soccer, I realized. The old scribe in me realized speed is pretty crucial. And these three really can't fly. And they all told me that soccer is their number one sport. They've been playing it longer than they've been in track and field. And Dahleen, she's enough of a soccer player. She's going to play at the University of North Carolina, which is just about the number one women's soccer program in the country. They've won something like 22 NCAA championships. The question I asked her, I said, are you hearing from track coaches at North Carolina? And she has. They would love it if she would also join the track team. And wow, she hasn't ruled it out. So that'll be interesting to see if she could be a two-sport star, you know, at a big-time college program like that. And part of the appeal for me, I kind of had this story in my mind since the state track meet. I didn't know the other two besides Maddie were on the soccer team till earlier before I went out there. But part of this appeal was just the rarity of top-level multi-sport athletes at a big suburban school. You know, we see multi-sport athletes, some of them very talented, all the time at smaller schools, but we don't see it every day at these big schools, and it's just rare. And the girls appreciate that training as sprinters in the spring really helps them in soccer. So I enjoyed chatting with those three and their coach, Katie Affet, if I might be pronouncing that wrong. And I've known Katie for a long time, and really fun. Really, you know, somebody complimented me on that story. And I said, you know how much fun I have talking to great kids. That's the best part of my job. It's just talking to great kids who are smart and, you know, they're super students and they have so much fun and they love talking about what they're fortunate enough to do. And that really makes it special.
That is great stuff. And as we always emphasize in this show, and as every sports show everywhere should always emphasize, play multiple sports, do multiple things. It's good for your athletic career. It's good for your body. It's good for your morale. Do it. Go out and do multiple things. All right, let me mention
one more thing about that in the story. If you go to John's Journal at mshsl.org, you can find that story. Katie, the coach, she said, we love having these multiple sport athletes. They've had a lot of hockey players. You know, Edina is a great hockey school for girls and boys. She said they don't get, if they're in multiple sports, they don't burn out. They're less injury prone. Imagine that, because they do different things in different seasons. So yeah, that's a huge advantage.
Absolutely. Now let's go to saving lives.
Yeah, this boy, I've been interviewing some people who, one person who had his life saved a couple weeks ago, and three people who saved his life. This is the Waseca football incident from week one. Brad Wendland, the head coach there for almost 20 years, collapsed on the sideline in the last minute of their first game of the season. Sudden cardiac arrest. And there were athletic trainers there from both schools. There was a nurse in the crowd who has two kids who play football at Waseca. They sprung into action. You know, the Waseca trainer was right there. The St. Peter trainer from the visiting team sprinted across the field. The nurse came running down from the bleachers, leaped over the fence, and they saved his life, and he knows it. I had about a 45-minute conversation with Brad on the phone yesterday, and he's so appreciative. And just before we got on here, I posted the story on John's Journal, and it's incredible. It's just incredible what they all, as they look back on it, none of these three had ever done this before, you know. And the nurse, she's an ER nurse in Waseca. She works, I think, the overnight shift. So you work in an ER, even in a smaller town like that, you see some stuff. Mm-hmm. They'd never used an AED, the automated external defibrillator, but the trainers, these athletic trainers, they keep one with them. Schools that know what they're doing have them in the schools, have them at practice, and everything was in place. And part of this is at the high school league, there are two things along these lines we encourage schools to do: have AEDs readily available, and have what we call an emergency action plan when something like this happens. And Waseca has handled this perfectly. They had plans in place. Every team has a plan. Coaches, even sometimes the athletes, they go over this, they'll spend time. This is our plan. You know, this coach is going to call the ambulance. This coach is going to make sure the trainer can get there. This coach is going to find the AED if it's needed. And that's what happened here. And, you know, we had another one of these last Friday night in Hutchinson. They had a really large pregame ceremony in honor of 9/11, and I was invited out there, but I couldn't make it. But they basically, any military veterans got into the game for free. They were welcome to come out on the field where they had, I think, a big flag or several flags. And as the pregame ceremony ended, the veterans are walking off the field, and one of them had a medical crisis. And Amy Rogatsky is the athletic trainer in Hutchinson. She didn't need the AED, but she did CPR. She did chest compressions, just like they did in Waseca a week earlier. She saved that veteran's life. So it's quite amazing. Just from interviewing all these people, it's remarkable to hear someone who's talk about, she was doing, one of the trainers, she was doing chest compressions. They had used the AED. They had given a shock to Brad's heart. They're trying to get him breathing, trying to get the heart going. She's doing chest compressions, and she told me I could feel his heart start to beat. Wow. Through her hands. And I'll go into more detail on this next week, maybe, but it's an amazing story. I'm so grateful to Brad, who I've known for a long time, to talk to me about it, and the trainers and the nurse, and Joe Hedevers, the AD down there. He was in the press box. He saw this ruckus on the sidelines, knew somebody was down, didn't know who. So he runs, he comes screaming down from the press box, dialing 911 to get the ambulance down there. And quite an amazing scene. I just tried to, you know, I had all these people tell me what happened, talk me through it. And Brad just got lightheaded. You know, he felt fine. There was no precursors to this. He said, I started feeling lightheaded. I thought, I'm going to go down on one knee until this clears. Well, he never went down on one knee. He just collapsed. And it was quite the scene. And boy, there's some grateful people in Waseca, and Brad Wendlin is one of them. So a really good outcome. Could have been, I think I wrote in the story, if this had happened to him later that night when he's walking from the school to his car and there's nobody around, that might be the end. You know, So he knows how fortunate he was. And he wants to pay it forward. He wants to urge everybody, you know, especially school people, make sure you have AEDs, have your action plans. He wants to be directly involved moving forward and helping get this message across. And I think we're going to see more from Brad on that.
Good stuff. Great outcome. As you said, also a great story. Nice work. Let's thank a ref.
Yeah, I want to thank the football officials who worked these games in Minnetonka and Blooming Prairie, tweeted photos of them before both games, chatted with them. They're the best people we have. And the athletic directors involved, Ted Schultz and Paul Twenge at Minnetonka, Allie Mock down in Blooming Prairie, who I had not met. We had corresponded and talked on the phone, but I got to meet Allie in person, and everybody for taking care of these officials during these warm games. You know, they're bringing out cold bottles of water on a regular basis. And these officials really earn their pay, especially on that warm Saturday in Blooming Prairie. The crew down there was Greg King, Darren Herrera, Ryan Buckingham, Greg Lamp, and Brian Larson. And as I do, when the officials come out on the field, I go over and say hi, introduce myself. You know, usually one or two of them know me from Twitter. And I say, boy, isn't it interesting when you see Twitter people in human form? Isn't it a letdown? Isn't it a big disappointment when you see me in person? And they didn't admit it, but of course it is. But one of these officials, Darren, after I took the photo, I thanked him. I didn't want to bother him anymore. He kind of took a second. He said, I've been a football official for 15 years. I've never had a photo of a crew I'm part of. Can you text me that photo? And you bet I did. I said, give me your cell phone number. I'll text it right now. And then I heard from him after the game. He was very grateful. And I thanked them all for doing such a great job. So that was great. We have another officials item here. This was a tweet from East Grand Forks High School. I don't know who this official is, but an official who'd worked games up there for a long time moved to Minneapolis from the East Grand Forks area, moved to Minneapolis over the summer. This official made the 10-hour round trip to officiate their alumni game and their inter-squad game as the season was getting started. An official, just because he knew the program, knew the kids. I don't know how this came about, but he got in his car, drove 5 hours to East Grand Forks to you know, officiate a couple of, you know, not official games, but to spend some time up there. And as the tweet from East Grand Forks said, officials are connected to our kids. They truly care about the players they officiate. What a moment. Thank you. So thanks to that official. One thing officials do on a regular basis after games, if anything happened that they think people at the high school league need to know about, they get on their computers, they file what we call an incident report. Most of the time, these are negative. A coach or a player was ejected. There's going to be an incident report. Something happens that's out of the norm, that's negative, there's going to be an incident report. And every once in a while, there's a positive incident report. I posted this one on the MSHSL Facebook page this week. This was from an official from a JV girls soccer game up north between Spectrum and Esco. The score was very lopsided. I think it was 10-0 in Esco's favor, but the official wrote about the Spectrum players. They were on the receiving end of a lopsided score, but never once did I hear complaints or witness unsporting behavior. They encouraged each other and sought to find joy throughout the game. Rather than hang their heads at each score or deliver unkind words or actions, they gave praise to each other, and their coach made sure to remind them of the goal of team sports. And if people who don't know about Spectrum, it's in, I think it's in Elk River. I've seen some of their teams play, but that's great when a coach or when an official, even from a JV game, goes to the trouble of sending that note to the high school. Like, we want to publicize those things. I was glad to put that one on Facebook and link to it on Twitter. Just a few more short items. Friday night at Brooklyn Center High School, Adam Thielen was there. His Thielen Foundation did a great thing. They paid for new lights at the stadium at Brooklyn Center. So Friday night for the first home football game this year, Adam was there. His wife, I think her name's Caitlin, they were there. They had a little pregame ceremony. They have not played a night game in any sport outdoors for 3 years since their old lights went kablooey. So way to go, Adam Thielen and the Thielen Foundation, for doing a great thing there. Chisholm High School is known for basketball, you know, in the Bob McDonald days, but they made some news on the football field. They have a kicker named Nathan Wagenstein. Dude kicked a 51-yard field goal last Friday. Chisholm lost to Northwoods, there's been some conflicting record book issues here. According to the high school league record book, it's, I think, the fourth or the fifth longest field goal in high school football history in Minnesota. I always tell people, the high school league record books are not always the most reliable for football. The Minnesota Football Coaches Association have records that are honestly more complete. And I think they had listed, I think, 7 or 8 kicks of 52 yards or longer. This was 51 by Nathan. All of that is unimportant. The fact that this kid up north kicked a 51-yard field goal is outstanding. We haven't talked about COVID much lately, Jim. We're going to do that now real briefly. 2 football games last week and this week were canceled. There were COVID issues. Walker, Hackensack, Akeley had a COVID issue on their football team. So last Friday's game against New York Mills was canceled. And then this Friday, Moorhead and Bemidji were scheduled to play. Bemidji had to cancel again for COVID reasons. Let's hope these are one-off instances, that the steps are being followed. Everybody's cleared to play. I'm happy to say we haven't had much of that this fall. And finally, I had the pleasure of spending some time on Zoom with a class from the University of Minnesota Morris this week. Tim Grove is the teacher of this class. It's an athletic organization and administration class. I've done this before with this class with Tim. He's a wonderful guy. We've never met in person. We're gonna fix that sometime. But he's the women's basketball coach at the University of Minnesota Morris, and he's a veteran football and baseball official. This is a small class. I think there were 10 students, mostly juniors and seniors, many of whom they'll go on to become teachers, coaches, administrators, and hopefully officials. The last thing we talked about was the need for officials. And I spent a little more than an hour with Tim and his class on Zoom. Someday we'll do it in person, but it's really a joy to do that stuff, and really enjoyed it. So thanks to Tim and everybody at Minnesota Morris.
Thanks to 2 important members of the Talk North team, Brandon Morton, our longtime producer, also Karen Cleary, our sales executive. If you would like to advertise with this show or the network, you can reach Karen at kclearry@talknorth.com. Tons of outdoor content, the best sports analyst, the best sports lineup in the Twin Cities, some variety shows, Raising Your Paws with Nutrisource, great for pet owners, dog owners especially. So, hey, things are going well with the network because you listen. We do appreciate it. Thanks to John. Thanks to Brandon. And we will be back next week.